for listening. We can't believe we're still doing this. We can't believe how much money we spend on time. How much on hockey.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Youth Hockey Podcast. And you are so lucky today. I almost don't want to bring this up, and I almost want this to be a shock when you hear that we have a new co-host that is going to be working with us just today. She won a contest. She wrote in and said, which podcaster is your favorite? She went through an entire, I think a chat GPT, like several different paragraphs about the merits of Coach Raleigh. Coach Raleigh, of course, loved it. And so he said, let her take my place today. And I said, Lance, what did I say?
You said it was our pleasure.
Exactly, Lance. It's our pleasure to have Laura Zukoski on the microphone right now. We thought that we have maybe been missing some elements of youth hockey that are not California oriented. Laura is from Colorado, I believe, and has also had experience up in Chicago area. And we just thought to balance it out, you know, the rest of the country probably knows more about hockey than California already. So we better let them have the mic at least once. And if anyone else would like to be a guest host, all you need to do is write into the show praising Coach Raleigh as much as you possibly can. I think we can get you on. So here you go, Laura. Why don't you tell us what you're interested in talking about today? And just introduce you a little yourself a little bit to the lovely people out in podcast land.
Well, thank you for that lovely introduction. I really appreciate you hosting me, and that contest was, you know, hard fought, by the way. So
it is to find something good to say about Coach Raleigh. I couldn't believe how many different adjectives you found to say how much you admired the man. It was a great thing to read, and we all loved it here at the Youth Hockey Podcast.
I still think it was rigged.
Oh,
be rigged.
No, if they say something nice about you, then it's rigged. If they say something nice about Raleigh, I think they're being honest and genuine.
Well, there you know, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and sometimes you just have to point out the strengths, and then people listen. You know, that's kind of how hockey works. So I thank you for having me. I wanted to just sort of jump in with the sanity saving power of humor. One of the things that I noticed of being a mother of four kids, one of which played hockey, is that if you don't have a good sense of humor and you don't look at things from different angles, you can go knucking futs. And that's part of why I was interested in coming online today with you, was just to kind of share.
Wow, coming
you.
Right out of the gate with some some salty language. And this is excellent, Coach. Where's the coach? I need to have him here so that I can like just be excited about what's coming next. This is fantastic, Laura. And there's no better introduction you could make of yourself than that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yes, I was interested in just showing you the difference between euphoria and heartbreak when it comes to hockey and what it does to you as a person. It changes your DNA and your Myers-Briggs tests, and anything that anybody knows about you is now different.
I'd agree. Let's face it. It does. It is such a mirror to a part of ourselves that we usually don't show anybody. Hockey can, and it can be a nice, by the way, there you can meet some of the most kindest, most generous people you ever met whose kids play hockey. And you can meet some people who quite honestly have let out Mr. Hyde. They've let him way out and he's dangling there because of who he is. Lance, what do you think? Have you run into now? What percentage of Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde have you run into in this hockey world?
Oh man, it's got to be at least in the 80% range, right? They're all, you know, they all the ones that I've met that I thought were truly genuine, I would say probably just hid their Dr. Jekyll or their Mr. Hyde a lot better than the others.
Very dark, Lance. Very dark. Thank you for that. Please continue, Laura.
Well, you know, I think that when I've been kind of on some of these social media sites that have hockey memes, and then also looking at Facebook posts over the years, support networks, if you will. There's definitely some common archetypes that cross. If we could just make this a biology lecture and use the Punnett square, I think that would be a lot better, because then we could, you know, put ourselves in where we are in our genetics with some of these Dr. Jekylls and Mr. Hydes. But I'd say the people that are probably the best at it have had a few kids in the system. And they're probably the ones that, as an amateur like myself, when I started out, I kind of gravitated to the people that kind of knew what the ropes were. And basically, in a nutshell, just shut your trap. That's the basic lesson I have for those years of parenting, and not draw attention to yourself unless there's a problem. Then of course you need to, if it's something, you know, egregious.
You know, that's a great lesson, you know, because I think I learned that pretty early on too, because in the beginning, being the social guy I always wanted to kind of immerse myself. But then as I'm sitting there, and I've told these stories in the past, and you're listening to someone that doesn't know you from Adam, insult your kid and call him names and everything else, and has no idea that the person he's talking about is standing right next to him. You know, my wife and I made the decision, it's probably better just to go find a spot by ourselves where they can't hear me and I can't hear them.
Right. I generally go on just this is excellent. We should have an entire hockey podcast about where you go to hide from everyone. I go down by the glass behind the goalie, because not many people hang out there usually. I mean, the goalie dad does, but the goalie parents are generally, you know, really fixated on goalies, right? So most of what happens there, you aren't hearing anything. It's a little chilly. I will say it's a little chilly, but it's not a bad place to hide, guys, if you'd want a good hiding place.
Exactly. I think that kind of leads into one of the topics that you and I were talking about before, was about this idea of the Rumspringa, which is borrowed with poetic license, not a cultural appropriation, but borrowed from the Amish. When the kid is 16, they are allowed to, let's say, you know, experience the outside world. And sometimes when a kid is maybe outgrowing their team, or maybe thinking about switching teams, rather than call it the mating season, I like the Rumspringa approach. And you know, the idea is that you don't want to get shunned. You know, you want to have some ideas that maybe your kid could, you know, find something different. But with that being said, kind of that secrecy, they have to turn off their apps on Snapchat so that their teammates don't know where they're going. And as a parent, you need to shut your trap as well and not tell people what you're doing, because once rumors start flying, it makes everyone a little nervous, a little uneasy. And
but don't you find it sometimes that you are kind of rationing opportunities at that point? If you run off with your kid and you don't tell people what you're doing, you know, because other people might want to do that too. I'm not trying to be adversarial here. I really am not, because I love what you're talking about. It happens. You're absolutely right. But I'm just playing devil's advocate on the other side of it. You don't want to tell anybody, but that seems to be such a tight-lipped community when opportunities come up sometimes. Lance, yes. You've been through this, where like you're like, hey, there's tryouts in wherever, and they don't tell you until they've passed. And you're like, why do that to the, you know, like, these are people that you're going to see a lot. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, but Lance, haven't you had people that are like, don't tell you until the due date is done and you can't get the opportunities that they did?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, and of course the answer is yes. But the funny thing I found about it is that the younger the kids were, the worse it was, you know?
Yes. Squirt opportunities are so golden.
Exactly. You know, and as they get older, I think the parents just, maybe they've learned from the life lessons. But yeah, mites, man, that was the backstabbiest couple of years we ever experienced.
And that's interesting, because I think my kid started when he was 10, and we just went to the YMCA, which was, you know, as low key and easygoing as you could get. And, you know, two practices a week, quarter sheet of ice, maybe a tournament, 30 to 60 minutes away, super easygoing. And never in a million years that I think my kid was going to go from that to playing AAA. because it was not in our line of sight. And so we missed out on all that drama. In fact, I didn't understand it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I'll give you my notes. I have a dream journal from the mid 2012s. I'll let you look at it after this podcast.
Well, like that's one of the things that I equate it to is it's kind of like a juniper plant. You know, that's kind of a bushy plant that you just put in the corner to cover up some landscaping where grass doesn't grow. Mm. And then eventually it just starts to grow 10 feet from the root system, starts to kill everything else off. That's what kind of playing hockey is, you know, after a while.
We've gone arboreal. We've gone Amish. Literally, Laura, I am beginning to think there's nothing you cannot analogize. But please continue. This is fantastic.
Well, thank you for that. I guess that college education paid off.
You sound like the kind of person that could we could benefit from a long form understanding of your ideas. I wish we only had that at our beck and call, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, thank you. I did write a book. That's part of my, I guess, contest wins was that I got to discuss it. But one of the things that I was interested in, it was really cathartic at first because I was driving my son to 5 a.m., you know, private lessons at a rink that was 30 minutes away. And of course, you're a little grumpy when you just have coffee and a laptop. So I would just start putting down my little notes. And eventually I said, you know, I'm going to put this into a book. So I did entitle the book, We're Not Here for the Hockey. And it's a guide to raising a competitive athlete without going knucking futs. That's the salty nature.
There you go. Yeah, I like it.
And, you know, someday when this is a movie, I really hope, like, Tina Fey plays me. And then I want, like, Steve Carell as one of the dads. And I just have this idea that, you know, someday it's going to go real big. But for now, it might just apply to the people that...
Are you a big date night fan?
I am.
I know, because that was Tina Fey and Steve Carell. How do you not like them together?
I love them together.
I know, when they're both on the same side at the end and they're eating the breakfast together. And oh, man.
He played hockey, actually, back in his day.
I know. He played goalie, didn't he?
I'm not sure, actually. I know.
I thought he played goalie. Well, Raleigh actually knew him, but they played at the in the same I think in the same sphere for a while. So I think Coach Raw, I'll get an update on that. Youth hockey podcasters, I will let you know whether Steve Carell played goalie. I do know Keanu Reeves played goalie.
Yep.
And they used to call him the Wall, which is, you know, you can't say the man, Keanu Reeves, there's nothing he can't do really, really well. So I'm sure as a goalie, he was pretty good.
There's a lot of famous people, Justin Bieber, Paris Hilton.
Yeah, but Justin Bieber, like, Keanu Reeves versus Justin Bieber, at least in my mind, as an old guy, I just can't compare the two. I mean, Bieber, because we've had this discussion. Coach Raleigh was saying that Bieber, when he was at the Burbank rink, used to just like drop all of his equipment and had somebody that scurried around behind him picking it up for him.
Oh, man.
I know. So, I mean, that's not a hockey player. A hockey player picks up his own shit. If you have sweat into a garment, you pick it up yourself, I believe. Oh, yeah. So Bieber is. Yeah. So anyway. Lance, am I getting that right? Am I getting the right? The Bieber was in the. Uh-oh. Oh, my God. Lance is gone.
Lance.
I just admitted him again. There Lance. Okay, we lost Lance. That's okay. Laura, please continue. This is your floor, not Lance's.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Oh, Lance, I got a picture of Lance.
Aw. now, not many people know that Lance is Native American, by the way. But now that you see Lance, can you not see the Native American roots in him?
I can, maybe a bit, sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's got so many things going for him. And he also is connected to this land deeply through his heritage. Lance, we can't hear you.
Let me ask you, Randy, can you, am I better now? I switched.
You're much better. And we get to see your charming self. So thank you for coming on camera, Lance.
Well, you know, because Laura, I did have a question for you that I think the audience would want to know so they can get a little better perspective is, like, what part of the country are you from? So people know, because I think where you're from definitely sways your experience in the hockey world.
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And so probably my sense of humor is formed by, Chicago. In fact, that's probably where I have a very grounded version of the world. And I think when I was raised in that area and I decided to leave and I went to the East Coast for a while, and now I raised my kids in Colorado, the hockey world here is very small and it's very dispersed.
Pretty good. I got to tell you, Colorado has been coming on strong. If you look at the national rankings for some of those Colorado teams, I must admit, they look, I don't know from the experience that you've gone through in Colorado, but I can tell you a lot of the teams that I've seen, that like Team Colorado and the girls and some of the boys, they are really good. So Colorado's coming on strong. Good job, Colorado.
Yeah. This coming from a Colorado native.
I am a Colorado native, but I'm just happy to see my boys do well. You know, Arvada, represent. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Arvada. Wheat Ridge. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Look, Boulder. I don't know where else. Littleton. Yeah. Colorado Springs. Come on. All of you. Start playing a little more hockey. But they're playing well. So
it's definitely the game's growing.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, the other thing, too, is, you know, I started making some progress through your book. And the reason I asked you that question, by the way, is because as I read it, I'm like, okay, she has to be here in Southern California because she's talking about people I know.
Okay.
She's got to be, but you know, but obviously it's that, you know, like Randy in the various shows always touches on these different personas that you run into. And I guess they're just uniform across the entire
I've got one for tonight, just so you know. We're ending the program with, I'm bringing it back. Who am I? Can you guess which persona am I from your hockey past? So keep going.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I mean, there were so many things that just touched me that, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. And I can't imagine any person that's been through the experiences we all have that aren't going to love this book, you know? You know, if you want, we can get into some of the things that really caught my attention. I mean, and I'll start with one. The first one, when you talked about like how a sport chooses you, and kind of the whole thing about not knowing what you're getting into, you know, I mean, for my experience, which sounded similar to a lot of people you're writing about, you know, was, you know, my kids played in this little in-house local rink, mini-mite program. And, you know, and it was very inexpensive and it was very fun and watching the little kids. And I'll never forget that someone came up and, you know, and fed me the line. I later found out that it was all a sales pitch about how great my kids were and they have to play travel. They're so good. You know, like you said, they could be the next one. You got to get them in. So we're like, sure, of course we want it. You know, and here paying a few $100 to play some hockey. You know, I never even thought to ask the right questions. And then when they slid me the contract and it was in the thousands, I was like, my wife and I almost fainted. I'm like, are you kidding me? We're talking about kids' sports. My son's 6 years old when we signed him up. I couldn't believe it. And then the other part.
Ask him about the contract he signed in the 18 AAA Ducks. I would like to know, Lance, you were talking about the thousands. How much was the 18 triple year X year?
Just I had to get the home equity loan to cover
that. That's what I'm saying. Just for the listeners out there, why don't you give them the basic idea of how much that cost you?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, by the way, I'll tell you how much we paid.
He's not touching that.
But this isn't even
not touching it.
Well, you know, I was going to say, I'm happy to say, but it's not even, it's not fair because I'm going to give people the wrong idea. Because I think since I paid it, I think it's doubled.
Really?
You know, because I think when we joined the AAA program, it was like eight or nine.
Okay, 16 grand with
well, that must be dues. Like I said, because we were like $8,000-$9,000. But the part that really hit us being in SoCal was that you had to buy plane tickets to every single major event because there were just no teams in Southern California.
Right.
You know. Well, he has two kids, by the way, on the same team. He's got twins. So. What you're talking about here is doubling every single thing that you can imagine. So poor Lance, like I said, if you have any equity left in your house, Lance, you're going to have to ask it for yet another loan because that is just, I cannot imagine going through AAA 2 years in a row with that kind of price scheme.
But you know, the other thing too, I wanted to ask Laura, like her experiences is the other part, because the money was nothing, Randy. I mean, the money is immaterial compared to the other part that no one ever tells you about. You know, we sign this contract, we join up, and then, you know, a month later, as practices start, all of a sudden you find out, like my wife and I are like, hey, you know, what do we want to do for Labor Day weekend? No. You got hockey Labor Day. We'll go away for Thanksgiving. No, there's a Thanksgiving turn. There's a Christmas turn. There's St. Patrick's Day tournament. There's a tournament for everything. And now what it's been for my sons, it's been 14 years. And my wife still asks me, can we go on a freaking vacation? Are we done with this hockey? I mean, was that your experience?
Oh, yeah. No, we had the same thing in Colorado. In order to get, you know, any type of tournament that was not just the same teams over and over again, we would have to travel to, you know, places like Detroit, Blaine, Minnesota. We did have one tournament, though, in Florida, and that was a big one where everyone went because it was a vacation. Because other than that, I mean, nothing against Fargo or Detroit winter.
You better not bring up Minot. I have a soft spot for Minot.
Well, and I'm sure they're lovely and the people are lovely, but it is a question of what you spend your money on. And in our case, we had only one kid playing. So I guess we had the discount, you know, as opposed to Lance. But even with that, it does take away from the rest of the family, because it would be nice to, you know, say to the whole family, hey, let's do something. Well, we can't. We have hockey, you know, and then you're kind of trying to figure out.
You're dragging around three other siblings.
Now, Laura, did you?
Times when people are dragging around siblings to rinks. How many times have we seen siblings, you know, playing at the candy machine and at the you know, in the arcade when their brother or sister is out on the ice?
Well, you know, it's funny because Randy, she brought up something too that we've never even talked about in the podcast, which I just realized was that, you know, when the boys started hockey, they were in like preschoolers or just starting kindergarten. And, you know, they had developed a lot of friendships, you know, and the one thing I forgot about, they were all left in the dust. Every single friend we had pre-hockey that wasn't involved in hockey, we lost them. They were gone. They just didn't want to deal with the fact we were never available, you know. I guess it's like being married to a rock star. You're just never going to see them. They were like, okay, we're gone, you know.
They have to work really hard. And don't forget, I mean, we also had the COVID crisis and pandemic. So that definitely, for my son, that was in the thick of his hockey life. So of this connection, not only from having a social environment of going to school, but then your hockey friends, like that is your family for a long time, especially if they are traveling together, they become, you know, they're sharing DNA at some point, you know.
Right. So
I think it's interesting when you have these friendships that, like you said, you have them before hockey and then there's after hockey. But the kids are adaptable, but they definitely, and I know that my son that was in college, he seems to gravitate to similar personalities. So it's interesting how a lot of that is formed. And I talk about that in the book about arrested development, not the show, which is great, but just how you have that ability to, you kind of see that they sort of form a personality based on their hockey friendships. And I think they're hysterically funny. I never, you know, I had to crack a smile, even some of the most vulgar situations where I'm like, ooh, I shouldn't be listening to this right now. But I also am a mom of three boys, so I'm kind of jaded anyway. But just to see them, how they flourish as friends and how the parents are friends, you know, that's a lot of it is your social group as well. You know,
Laura, I'm sorry, I have to butt in here. Nobody liked me on any of the teams that my kid was on. So like the parent thing, yeah. There was never a time that I had any friends.
Poor
Randy. I know. I just had to get that in there. But yeah, I did hear my son say the cutest word for the first time. You know, like when you hear your son say mama and dada. First time I ever heard him say fuck was on the ice rink, and he was like 15 years old. I heard him.
Yeah.
And it was in this cute little like soprano voice, like, fuck. Right. And because he bar out a shot, and there I am watching my son, I think 14 is what it was, and it just cussing. And I was like, oh, that's darling. So,
well, and they learn how to use it properly, though. That's the important thing.
No, no, as they know, had that gone in, I don't think he would have said fuck. I had it gone into the goal, I think he would have said, yeah. But in the case that it was fuck. So,
I know. I kind of, you have to like put your hands over the grandma's ears that are not, they didn't raise you that way. It's like, well, this is a different language. It's a different culture. Definitely, you know, hope that they all turn out and they learn how to have their environment, you know, where they know not to use it. And that was one of the things that as they get older, obviously they meet with different, groups of people that come in and educate them on the fine art of being, you know, college ready, that scouts are always listening and people are always watching and evaluating, and to, you know, curb that enthusiasm, if you will, in the locker room, and try to behave outside of the locker room. So that part about the education and the arrested development in this case was good, because now I can actually see that they function at a high level outside of the locker room, which, you know, having that threat of a college scout looking at you definitely helps.
That's great.
Well, you know, the interesting thing too about that, talking about them functioning outside the locker room, the one thing that always blew me away, and I don't know if you experienced this, but as my sons get more, as they get older and they're more interacting with other families and they're billeting, it's amazing how many people have come to my wife and I and say, oh my God, you've got the two greatest boys. They're so respectful. They're so this and they're so that. And what do I always tell you, Randy? Like, where are those guys when they're at my house? Where are those respectful guys, the quiet guys, the guys who clean up after themselves and wash their own dishes? Those guys, I haven't met them, but I guess if you tell me they're out there, I'll believe you.
Well, that was something I was always really concerned about, was I know when I would be serving my boys copious amounts of meat that I would be buying, you know, in bulk from Costco, and trying to keep, you know, the wheels of the household going, and the hockey kid always needing these special meals and special trips and all this stuff. And I would hunch over and pretend I was Igor, and I'd be like, yes, master, just so he knew. I didn't want him to be an entitled little prick. You know, I'm like, you see that going on, and it's like, no, kid, like there's a point in life where you're going to have to take care of yourself, and this, you know, world does not revolve around you. So that definitely.
Have you ever seen that kid that orders around their parents, or especially like their mom, or because we've seen those kids, go get my jacket. I still remember this kid turning to his mother. He was a San Diego kid. He was coming in for a tournament. And he was like, go get my jacket. It wasn't even, mom, could you please go to the flat? Oh my God. I just looked at that kid and I was like, oh, wow. That is, you do not know how much if you will look at your mother and say that in public, that means that it has gone so deep into your psyche that you are going to really have to do some work later to get that, to get that out of you, kid. Or somebody is going to.
That back in the 70s and the 80s, there's no way you could talk to your mom like that.
No, I even think that my mom would know it. Literally, if I thought that, if I was like, hey, bitch, get my jacket, in my head, my mom would just clock me. That's right. She would have clocked me. You're like, I can tell. And I would be like, yeah, you were right. But there was no way that there are some very, very, I mean, some people that think that because they're very good at hockey, that the world kind of sets the tempo around them. And I cannot tell you, and Lance, you can say this, you know, it's not true. No matter how good your kid is, they still have to be a human being first, or else they're really losing out. Losing out.
You know, some of the, I think we've talked about this where, you know, like a lot of the coaches and the scouts that we've interacted with, you know, have had the conversations with my sons, you know, okay, you want to be a hockey player, then what? And, you know, they're like, what do you mean, then what? And he's like, did you know, like, I think he said like the average career expectancy of a hockey player is like 2 to 4 years. He's like, you know, that means you're going to have a whole lifetime ahead of you. And like you said, Randy, if you're not a good soul and you're not a person who educates himself and looks beyond all that, then you're going to have a long grind after it's over, if you're lucky enough to even get there, you know?
Yeah, no. I don't want to take this away from Laura. Laura, the floor is still yours. I'm sorry that we sometimes take it away from you.
No.
But we really do want to get in as much as we can from you, because, you know, we don't get to have this conversation but once. So please.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot of topics I cover in the book. And I think one of the things that I felt needed to be talked about, and it could be maybe a little bummer, but it's about when your player does decide to quit. Or let's say in our household, we say finish the sport, because it's important to say that, you know, they take it as far as they want. And then you're sort of left as this sort of grieving parent, unless there was a reason you wanted them to stop. Maybe they had like five concussions and you're finally saying,
right,
you're done, please be done.
You're the celebrating parent at that point. You're like, oh,
but,
please keep those brain cells alive.
Right. And I mean, we had a coach, we've had people that we've seen that have really struggled with, you know, CTE and things that have impacted their ability to maybe proceed in a regular life outside of hockey. But I think the biggest thing was the grief, and finding other parents that have also seen their child maybe be done with the sport. It doesn't necessarily mean only hockey. There's plenty of things, you know, other sports where you think the kid's going to go all the way or as far as they can, and then they decide they're done. Is that from a parent perspective, there's actually, it was very surprising to me how it was just as stressful to us, where I think our kid was fine. He was like, I'm ready to live my life and be a normal high school.
Yeah, I'm done.
And go to college. And I'm interested in philosophy and science. And, you know, he has this idea of going beyond, you know, the sport. And you're just sitting there going, well, first of all, we spent $100,000, it feels like, you know, what college fund, you know?
And then we know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but there's a great point that we all are preparing for hockey greatness all this time.
Right.
And none of us are preparing for, you know, the moment when they step off the ice.
Right.
My son did recently, my middle son, and I couldn't be prouder of him for getting, you know, for kind of finishing it up and doing what he did. But you're absolutely right. It was not easy to, you know, because like I would talk to other hockey. The thing that was really funny is like you talk to other hockey parents. You'd be like, so he's done. I'd be like, yeah, he's done. He's like, but he's been on AAA teams. He's going to, you know, he could play another year. And I'm like,
right.
Yeah, but he's done. Well, you know, he really could make, I know he could make the team. I'm not saying that. He's done. The other hockey parents look at you like you are like a crazy as a loon for, I mean, it's like the sun's up in the sky and you're saying it's nighttime to them. That's how they act. He's like, no, it's nighttime. And they're like, the sun's in the sky, dude. What's wrong with you?
So, now, yeah. Randy, you remember when my sons moved to Minnesota? What happened to me? Do you remember?
I believe you were crying on the floor in your kitchen when I came over, and we had to take you to the doctor or something. Was that not the case?
That wasn't the case, but you said you would find me sitting at the rink, staring, watching hockey games. I had
playing. Come over. He would come to the rink while my kids were playing, and he'd be like, hey, the practice going on? I'm like, yeah, of course the practice is going on, Lance. He's like, well, maybe I'll just watch for a little while. I'm like, oh my God, Lance.
Yeah, you miss it.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got to imagine too, for me, Randy knows this, you know, I was one of those dads. I went to every practice, every game, every scrimmage, and then to have it all in a flash taken away, it was hard, like you said.
Right.
I mean, I went through withdrawals, and I'll never forget that first weekend. That very first weekend was Labor Day weekend. I'll never forget. And every Randy's off, they got a tournament here, and these guys have a tournament. Everyone was at a hockey tournament, and my wife and I were just sitting on the couch going, well, now what?
Yeah,
you know, we can't even go have a drink with somebody because they're all
got pickleball.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they didn't have pickleball back then.
okay.
Yeah, we had a hard time even watching like the Stanley Cup playoffs that summer. You know, it was like, oh, I don't even want to watch it. It makes me so sad, you know.
Wasn't that the year that the Avalanche won as well? Didn't the Avalanche win that year? Or
No,
you're in Colorado.
Last year he stopped playing
2 years ago.
Well, he played another high school year just for fun, and that was great, but it was more for fun, you know. For us, it was just like keeping a dog alive with meds, you know. Just sort of like, oh, we're not ready to be done with our spectatorship, but at the same time, it was great because high school hockey is in Colorado. I don't know if it's as competitive. I know it's not as competitive as it would be in maybe the Northeast or Minnesota, but for the boys, that is. And I would say that what's great about it is the whole school comes out and cheers, and there's senior nights, and people have face paint, and it's like unlike any AAA team, you know, tournament where it's just a bunch of parents and, you know, guys in black jackets and writing things down, the scouts and stuff, you know, that's like fun, but high school hockey's fun. You know, there's a lot more fan base and probably what it would be like in the juniors or obviously.
Well, should we tell her about SoCal high school hockey, Randy?
Don't make her live that. Let her have her fun delusions about hockey. In Colorado, it's lovely. We were in Utah once, and my son played high school hockey. It was just like what you're saying. California, it's not quite that. It's a bunch of private schools in the Orange County League. So they go out and they get a bunch of AAA players.
You know, and kale salad.
Yeah, they do. And they at the end of the thing, they you know, instead of hosing you down with champagne, it's always with some kind of light gluten-free beverage. It's no fun. It's not the same. Anyway.
Okay,
guys, we are getting near the break point. So I think it has been lovely talking with you, Laura. Is there anything you would like to I would like to give you the tip, because obviously Lance is a fan. You can tell by the
yes, fact that I have a couple more things I want to talk to her about.
Okay, very quick. Okay, now
okay, I'll do one.
At 40 minutes, I start getting nervous because all the podcast books say after 40 minutes, people don't want to listen to you anymore. And after 50 minutes, we call that Raleigh time, which is that you have gone on so far off the reservation that you're in Raleigh time. So please, one more.
Here, I'll make it quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
But just some of the things that struck with me that, and again, I'm not even done with the book, but just every page had something that I could relate to, and I loved it. You know, but there's one that we got to talk about at another point. We got to have you on because you talk about the obsession and then whose obsession is it? Is it dad's obsession, right, mom's, or the player? Because that's an issue, because I've run into those parents who wanted their kids on the ice every single day, but it was their obsession, not the kids. And then you talk about my favorite subject that gives knots in my stomach, the dad coaches.
Yeah.
You know, I got stories for that. But the one we could talk for very briefly was, I wrote down, and so maybe that was the title you wrote, The Power of Luck. And I will admit, Randy, for the first time here on this spot, I'll admit that I still own an orange shirt that I bought because it was the Anaheim Ducks when they played for them colors that I refuse. It's in my closet. I will not wear it. I refuse to wear it. Because the last time I wore it, my son and the team had the worst game ever. So that thing, I mean, if I could, I'll probably go burn it, because that's the power of the lucky and unlucky shirt. And I'm sure you have some stories like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we had that as a family when the Blackhawks were playing, and we had to sit in certain spots, and we had, you know, assignments as far as if you got up to go to the bathroom and they scored, you could not come back. And when you're in the same thing with the team, if your team is doing bad as far as your son's teams or daughter's teams, if there's definitely lucky purses, lucky hats, lucky seats, there's a lot of woo-woo and voodoo, and I don't know, it's a coping mechanism, honestly. But then is it, I mean, is there luck and bad luck in the sport? I mean, it's hard to, I come from an Italian background. There's all kinds of crazy superstitions there. So definitely didn't fall far from the tree on that one. But
it's nice to know that we're collectively crazy, though. I mean, if anything, what you're pointing out is something that at least everyone has a touchstone moment where they're like, oh, so everyone's as crazy as I am.
Yeah.
So youth hockey podcaster listeners, just remember that maybe it'll comfort you in one of these games where your kid's down 8-0 and you've moved seats 7 times. You don't have to move seats 7 times. Anyway, Ladies, gentlemen, I really do. As you can tell, Lance is a fan. I'm beginning to wonder if I might be replaced by Laura at some point on the podcast. It sounds like she's going to be somebody that that Raleigh will call up and Lance will call up and ask a lot of questions about. So if you like what you heard, please give her work a look. And if at all possible, just soak in somebody else's experience in a way that'll help your kid, because that's what it's all about. This is not about us, you know, preaching to the world about how good we are at handling things. We're pretty much basket cases, I think, all of us. Lance, can I agree with that?
I can agree with that.
Right. We're here to help you folks kind of move forward a little bit better than the journey that we took. And it sounds like, and I'm sorry, Lance has done the research, and I'm glad he has. It sounds like she's got one big fan here at the Youth Hockey Podcast. And if we can, Laura, we will have you on again. It was that eye opening. And I think your ideas and your the way you express them are both just lovely. So
when's the book available to the public?
Oh, so it goes on pre-sale March 28th, so Tuesday, and then it will be live on Amazon as far as buying the paperback on April 4th.
Awesome. So, anyone tell us the name again?
Yes, it's called We're Not Here for the Hockey, and it's a guide to raising a competitive athlete without going knucking futs.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, so I've got my character, and I want you to tell me who I am. Either one of you can chime in at any time, but I think you've all met this person. You're at the end of the year hockey party. I'm just setting the scene here. Now we're at the end, and you two are in my group, and we're sitting talking. Hey, Lance.
Hey.
Hey, Laura, how you doing?
Hi, great.
Great. I got to tell you, great year. I love playing with both of your kids. My kid is 100% definitely coming back next year. We've got to keep this going. I really enjoy the coaching, the place, the system, everything. 110% chance that I'll be back here next year.
Okay, Randy, that's the guy who's already booked plane tickets back east because they're going to move to Chicago.
That's the guy you're never going to see again. That's exactly right. If there's one thing that you can be certain of after that conversation, you are never, ever going to see that person again. Thank you, Lance. I'm sorry, Laura. I said Lance just jumps in quicker because he knows my tells.
I love it.
Well, thank you all for listening to the Youth Hockey Podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, go to Apple Podcasts and rate us. And rate us thinking of Coach Raleigh or of Lance, not thinking of me. We had a poll asking who the top podcaster was, and it came back pretty definitively that it is Coach Raleigh. Everyone loves Coach Raleigh, and even though he isn't here today, he is here in spirit. We all love you, Coach. We hope you get better, and you can come back from that. You heard why he's not here tonight, right?
I know why he's not here.
Yeah, he's had a mental breakdown. He's going to a Kings game. He must have had a mental break. Why would you go to a Kings game if you were fully of sound mind? That's my feeling.
But by the way, Randy, just touching on the poll you had. I mean, you got to clarify that he got all the votes.
One vote. Yeah, there's only one vote. It was our first poll. And I don't even know, by the way, I tried to vote in our poll, and I guess you have to sign up at Spotify to do the voting. And so I gave up. So it's like, this is how much commitment the Youth Hockey Podcast has to our polls. There was one vote, and that one vote was for Coach Raleigh. I tried to balance it out because I thought Lance would be jealous. I was going to vote for Lance, and it turned out there was too many hoops to jump through. So I was like, never. I'm not going to do it. I was just for your ego. Because last time Raleigh beat Lance at something, he was like, he was whining for like weeks about, that wasn't fair. That contest, that was not right. And so I was going to give him a pity vote. But as it turned out, I couldn't even navigate the technology. So I'm sorry, Lance. I failed you again.
You tried.
I tried, but I failed you. So anyway, you folks out there, if you would like to ask any questions of the Youth Hockey Podcast, please email us at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions or you want to get in touch with Laura, you can always email us there, and we'll that's fine, right, Laura? Can we put people
absolutely
in touch
with you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have questions or something like that and you want us to put you in touch with her, I think we'd gladly do that. It's really nice having you, Laura. And thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. It was great. Thank you so much.
Lance, you have anything to say?
No, just thank you very much. And looking forward to reading the rest of the book.
Great.
Yeah, it's a great review from Lance. If he is hooked, I think a lot of people will be. So thanks for listening.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.